Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
As you know, there have been some major controversies around the issue of same-sex marriage within many of the church denominations that we may be a part of. When the definition of marriage changed and same-sex marriage became legal in Australia, churches were faced with a major dilemma, putting pressure on Christian ministers over their clear understanding of biblical marriage between a man and a woman, or capitulating and allowing ministers to conduct same-sex weddings and the use of church facilities for same-sex weddings. Well, in one denomination, the Uniting Church of Australia, there have been particularly brutal results, where whole church congregations have been threatened or even locked out of their church buildings because of their stance on traditional marriage. Whole congregations have reportedly been pushed, harassed, and bullied out of their church by inner-city progressives. Within the Uniting Church, a secondary movement has emerged called the Assembly of Confessing Congregations. One of those has been the Tongan congregation of the Uniting Church in Campsie in New South Wales, who've been locked out of their church premises since last year. Pastor Mafu Palu is joining us for an update on his understanding of what's happening to churches that hold tight to a biblical view of marriage in the Uniting Church. Mafu, a special welcome along to 2020.
Thanks, Neil.
Mafu, take us into your story here. What was happening in the lead-up to you being locked out of your church building?
So the thing was that after the approval by the Uniting Church Assembly of the same-sex agenda, that in 2018, there was a conflict between the Tongan language service in the Campsie Uniting Church and the minister, because there were a number of issues before that. The minister is not Tongan, is it an Australian man? And the council of the church had said that he was very domineering, and every time he comes in with some proposals for the council, he does not accept it when they do not approve of his proposals. So there was a conflict between the minister and the church leading up to the same-sex agenda debate in that assembly. But then after the debate was approved by the Uniting Church, then there was the issue of doctrinal differences. And so on the basis of that, and because of the previous conflicts that the church had with the this Australian man, who's the minister, they pushed for this minister to be moved this tenure as the minister to be terminated and him be moved to another congregation. The presbytery of the Uniting Church did not like that. Now, I came in to the story 3 months before we got locked out at the end of January 2019, which is last year. I attended a conference of the Australian Confessional Congregation that was happening in 2018 in the city here in Sydney, in Wesley Mission. And there I met this group, members and some of the council members of the Campsie Uniting Tongan Language Service, and that came to the conference looking to ask some of the Tongan ministers who were working for the Uniting Church to give them a hand, you know, to help them, because they no longer want the Australian man to continue on as their pastor. But none of the Tongan ministers will. In fact, there was only one Tongan minister who is still in the Uniting Church, was there. Well, he didn't really want to do it because he was afraid of all kinds of issues and because of the conflict between the Tongan group and the minister. So he was kind of afraid to take side. And I think it make sense because the church, Uniting Church, do not want their ministers to be against them.
So, Mafu, as I understand it here, you had some leadership issues that were going on in the time before the change of marriage definition, which was debated in the Uniting Church. But is it those leadership issues that are being blamed for you being locked out, rather than this doctrinal difference that you're talking about? And, of course, we're talking here about a stance on same-sex marriage versus the traditional marriage that you hold to. So there are other issues in play here.
Yeah, but I think the whole thing was accelerated by the same-sex debate, because once the church found out that the main issue why the church wanted that minister to leave was because of the doctrinal differences, they started blaming it on all these kind of things before, and eventually turned the table against the Tongan language service and started blaming them rather than dealing with the complaints, because there were many complaints about this man physically pushing people, three members of the church around in a meeting. So there was conflict before. So I wanted to be, just to be clear and be honest about what was happening. There was conflict before, but I think it was accelerated by this church stance on the same-sex gender issue.
It's good to know that there were issues going beforehand, and so it's not just the one issue where action was taken. Your understanding is this is happening widely throughout congregations being locked out, and it comes down to a common denominator of their stance on traditional marriage.
True, yeah. So it was when our congregation, they got in and we decided we're going to go and become ACC members. And once we have decided to become members of the ACC, that was the Sunday before, they locked us out. So it was as if there was a meeting in December where the church, presbytery of the church came in and they decided that we should become a congregation who is not member. So if you want to become a member of the Uniting Church, you'll become a kind of a congregation in affiliation with the Uniting Church first before you become a member. But see, because these people were already members for almost 20 years in the church, it was acceptable for them to be regarded as non-members who are trying to be members. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, because what you're saying is that when you aligned with the confessing congregations, there was some action that was taken that tried to downgrade your membership in the Uniting Church. But you're saying that's ridiculous, because you'd been members of the Uniting Church, fully fledged members of the Uniting Church for 20 years. So then downgrading your membership based on your affiliation with the confessing churches is what happened.
So there was the exchange of correspondence from the church council, our church council of the presbytery, in which we say that this is unfair, because the constitution doesn't allow for us to become this kind of affiliation, because we are members. And then eventually they wrote a letter saying they locked the doors and everything kicked us out. And two of our members were in the compound during the day. They were escorted out by security officers that they had paid for to leave the compound and locked up. And therefore, there was no kind of warning, beforehand. There was no opportunity for us to go back and remove some of our musical instruments, some of the pots and stuff, plates that we use in the hall, church hall, for our meetings, then they're still there. So up to date, there hasn't been any opportunity, any more opening for us. And so they wrote to us saying that they have deleted the membership, they've terminated the membership of these people. But according to the Constitution, before this happened, before we got kicked out, we took the matter up through presbytery and then even to the Synod. That the church complained against the minister, but then they said that they responded by justifying the minister. The minister has arrived, just that the congregation is pretty bad and not listening to the minister, and that sort of thing. And so when we took it to the Senate committee, they did the same. They said, look, you know, there's no other ways of dealing with this. You've got to go back. And so when they locked up the church, they wrote to us, the members, say, look, you know, if you really want to come back to the church, you have to submit yourself under the authority of this minister. We want to train you on our doctrines, and we train you all kinds of teachings the church has approved of. So, I mean, for us, that is saying that they want to teach us about same-sex marriage. If you want to come back again, we have to comply with that. So that's why we refuse to go back.
Okay, so a refusal to go back because what they were offering was a conditional return to the Uniting Church if you go through a re-education program as to the new policies of the Uniting Church. Look, there are 150 or so confessing congregations in the Assembly of Confessing Congregations within the 2,000 strong churches of the Uniting Church. And I guess we're letting people in on what happens in some of the internal politicking of what happens within a denomination here. But I asked you a little bit earlier, you know, how broadly is this happening? You've heard of this happening to a whole lot of congregations.
Yeah, so there were three congregations up the Central Coast here in New South Wales that got let out, and now there are only some of the members have gone to, you know, the existing denominations up there, Bible-believing denominations, and some who still want to hang around with the ACC, they just started meeting once a month, somewhere in there. I'm told. And when we were last year in September, we were up in Queensland for the ACC annual conference. We were told before the end, three more churches up in Queensland were shut out the church building because of this. See, the trouble with this thing, Neil, is that there is no assistance even from the church and even legally. We tried. We consulted the legal team, and I think they got discouraged because they couldn't see a way in which... Well, they told us that the thing is, if this matter will be taken to the court, the Supreme Court will probably ask whether the church... The last suggestion came from a barrister who said, look, you know, go back and call a church council meeting and decide... Because the Constitution says that the presbytery cannot close or shut down a church building. It's that decision belongs to the council. But you see, the presbytery, George's River Presbytery, what they did was they dissolved the church council, and then they set up their own council, you know, people who agreed with them. I mean, according to the Constitution, they don't have the constitutional right to do it. So taking these people to court will not help our case. Mm-hmm. And we've consulted a number of other lawyers and stuff. And all they're saying, look, you know, the United Church have too much power, they have too much money, and the government would not, even the courts would not want to be involved in a church conflict like this.
Yes, well, what you've got is a church conflict that has been exacerbated by the idea of moving away from a biblical definition of marriage. And it's something we've talked about on this program before. And one of the tragedies in all of that is that it'll bring division within the church. And that's what it's done, even with the formation of the ACC, the Australian Confessing Congregations. It's a tragic situation that has happened, and I've heard it predicted by other commentators on this program before that there may be a split in the church into the future, and we hope and pray that that isn't the case and that things can be resolved. But thank you so much for taking some time today to let us in on what's happening to your congregation. And I know that after you were locked out, you were worshipping on the street for some weeks before you found a new venue, and I think you've found a new venue since then. Whereabouts are you meeting at the moment, Mafu?
Yeah, at the moment, Neil, I wanted to finish with that just to say to people, like, we are a growing congregation. We are worshipping at the Bedstow Anglican Church, and I think the church building is starting to be small for us. So if any of your listeners we'll have a building that is free or can be rented out to a big group like us. So we have more than 20 families, more than 150 people on the list, on the roll, the church roll. So, and we're growing. We have two services. We have a 3 p.m. Service in Tongan language, and then we have a 5 p.m. Service in English. And that 5 p.m. service is growing, attracting a number of Tongan generations. That's the aim, is just to reach out to the second generation.
Well,
we offer ourselves to help out any congregation who will be in our situation and who would like some financial assistance to begin. Do you know what I mean? Because when we were kicked out, even the ACC didn't help us. We couldn't help us because they don't have the financial resources to, you know, to perhaps to rent a building for us to meet. So we were meeting at a house church for about 6 months before we start. We're able to collect enough funds to rent the place that we are in now. So we are happy to help out any of your listeners who are in our situation, but shut out and they're looking for a place to worship, but they don't have money to pay. You can give them our contact, my contact, and even our secretary, Dina's contact, and to email us for assistance. We want to help people continue on worshiping God.
And what's the name of your church now, Mafu?
It is called the Tonga Evangelical Wesleyan Church.
Okay, so the Tongan Evangelical Wesleyan Church, 150 strong. These days you're meeting at the Padstow Anglican Church and you're on the lookout for a bigger venue. You're offering a helping hand to other Uniting Church congregations who've gone through something similar to you. Pastor Mafu Palu, I want to thank you so much for taking some time to update us on your circumstance and to talk about the sorts of things that are going on within the Uniting Church that has been, in some sense, torn apart because of this decision to support same-sex marriage. Thanks so much for being with us today on 2020.
Thanks very much, Neil.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.